I want you to understand what they didn't get is they didn't understand the suffering. They didn't understand the death. They didn't understand the resurrection. All of that is what they were completely clueless about, right? That's when you go back into Luke and look at what they're really, truly clueless about. It's all of his suffering and death. But as to the kingdom coming, Jesus had taught them a lot on the kingdom coming. Luke 12, Luke 17, Luke 21. Go back through all the gospels and see how much he talks about with this kingdom coming. And so often when Jesus was teaching of this kingdom coming, that he would bring in this kingdom. And what the message always was with the bringing of the kingdom, if you remember, what was always attached to the kingdom, whenever he was talking about the kingdom, what was kind of the parables that were attached to it? It was faithful servants waiting for the master to come back, right? Always attached to his kingdom talk is, you better be ready, right? Be ready. You're not sure when he's going to come back, so you need to be ready for when he comes back. Have your oil filled. Have your lamps lit. Be awake. Be alert. Be sober. That was always the message when he's talking about the kingdom coming. Be ready for it. Not knowing when, but always ready. So the disciples, remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? What was their big disappointment? We thought he was the one. The one to do what? The one to redeem Israel. The one who was going to bring in the kingdom. They were disappointed because it looks like he wasn't. But now, when they start to understand a little bit, now that they spent 40 days with the risen Christ, they now believe, was it necessary for him to suffer and die? It was. Now they understand. It was necessary for him to suffer and to die and to be raised again. We get it now. Now is the kingdom coming? Right? Now you see, now we got that. So this is a question that makes sense. He's speaking of sending the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, from our scripture reading in Joel this morning, earlier on, when he speaks of that day when the kingdom is coming. What does he talk about? I will put my spirit in all of the people. I will send my spirit. I will change out their hearts. The spirit is coming. Jesus says, I'm going to go now, and I'm sending the spirit. And their question then is, so now is the kingdom coming? Makes sense, doesn't it? So don't, at this point, smack the disciples, because at this point, it's not a bad, necessarily, question. Ezekiel 2, right? The spirit's coming associated with the kingdom coming. Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. They think the work is done. The spirit is coming. It must be time. You also have to think for a second, what do they think is coming with the kingdom? Rome is going to get put down. Israel's going to be restored. We're going to get David's kingdom. We're going to get Solomon's wealth. We're going to restore the worship. Everything, right? Everything's going to be good. And where do we stand? These 12 that stood with Jesus? What were they arguing about all the time? Where do I sit? Do I sit on the right or the left? Am I number two, number three? Who's the greatest? So you know in the back of their minds, is the kingdom coming now? I got to prepare my place. What am I going to get to do? What's next for me? And you start to understand then what Jesus tells them. Jesus kind of brings them back to earth a little bit. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. I told you, every single time I told you about the kingdom, I told you, you ain't going to know the time. It's going to be unexpected. You're not going to know. Beloved, if you don't get anything else this morning, understand this. The scriptures tell us much about the kingdom. One thing not revealed anywhere is when. And when you hear people on TV, when you hear people on the radio telling you when, they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Don't believe them. Turn them off. Nothing else that they say is worth listening to. God doesn't tell us when. This is one of the secret things that belong to the Lord our God, Deuteronomy 29:29. We just are supposed to know it's coming. It comes when he comes back again. When is he coming back? Soon. Maybe Tuesday. Right? That's how we are supposed to do it. That's how we're supposed to know. He's coming back soon. God wants us to be ready at all times. That's why, basically, you know, that's why he doesn't say in his scripture anywhere, you know what, it's going to happen in February of 2023. Do you know why nowhere in the Bible it says it's going to happen in February 2023? Because all of us would start getting ready in the fall of 2022. And that's not what he wants. He wants us to stay awake because he's coming soon. So he doesn't tell them yes or no. Is it going to happen right now? He doesn't say, no, it's not going to happen next week. He doesn't tell them that. He doesn't say yes or no. He doesn't correct them for expecting the kingdom. He just tells them, you don't get to know when. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is what I love about this, right? He knows what they're really asking. What comes next? What are we going to do? We know you've been preparing us, right? You start to look back, and this last 3 years that they spent together, this has been a preparatory time. He's been mentoring them. He's been teaching them. They're anxious. They're ready. They're starting to know some stuff. The kingdom reign, Israel restored, the disciples leading alongside Jesus and his kingdom. All these discussions, arguments, all these things around the fire. Who's going to be first? Can I sit at your right hand? Who's going to be the greatest? These are young men. They're zealous. They're filled. They're ready. They're strong. They want to get out there. They've come now to believe that he is the one. We've talked at length about all that meant and their understanding. They're prepared for something. So he tells them, once you receive power, once you're clothed from on high, once you're baptized in his Spirit, fully empowered, enabled, and enlightened, you're going to be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. And basically the word that's used there is martyres. What that word means is one who sees firsthand and can be trusted in his testimony. Did you get that? Martyres. One who sees firsthand and can be trusted in his testimony. You know what word we get from martyres? Martyr. How are those words connected? Because when we think of martyr, we think one who willingly suffers death for the sake of their witness. One who will die for what they believe in. These words became interlocked around the second century. Tertullian wrote this. He says, their blood became the seed of the church. These 12, these disciples, this early church, all of these that took this forward, they became witnesses and they gave testimony and they lost everything for that testimony. They gave up their lives. So many were drawn to faith in Christ by seeing how calmly, confidently, Tertullian wrote, even joyously, these Christians went to their death for the sake of their testimony for what they had witnessed. You're going to be my witnesses, martyres. We see that John writes in his first letter, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Do you hear in there that there is a witness testimony? Peter writes in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 16, for we didn't follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses. These young men would be uniquely used, uniquely prepared as the apostles chosen by God to lay the foundation of the church, to be the first witnesses carrying the gospel from Jerusalem throughout Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. We're going to see as we move through this exciting book that as Acts 17:6 puts it, it was said of these young men, they upset the world. Some translations write, they turned the world upside down. These 12, He had commanded them. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. There's an obligation attached to the fact. You are witnesses. You were chosen to see, to hear, to know. And I'm sending the promise of my Father, right? There's no excuses. I'm equipping, I'm enabling, I'm empowering. There's an obligation. There's equipping. You were chosen for this. You are my witnesses. Isn't it interesting? It's not you will be my witnesses. I hope you will witness for me. Right? There's no question mark at the end of any of those things. There's nothing in there that says, you know, it would be really nice if you would testify for me a little bit here and there. It would be really nice if you told a few people what you saw and heard. No, what does he tell them? You are my witnesses. Beloved, there's something kind of cool about that. Because this morning, all of you who are believers, all of you that have come to faith in Jesus Christ, God's called you. He's awoken your heart to the truth. He's shown you his Son, Jesus Christ. He's given you understanding of his word. Amen? You are witnesses. You may not be good ones. Effective, but you are witnesses. It's not now, should I be a witness? You are one. You know, I think of like the gangland shootings over there, and so oftentimes what the cops have a hard time doing is getting someone to testify because they're afraid. Are you one of those that's like won't come forward? Has anyone seen this? What do you know? What has God shown you? You are witnesses. Each of us have come to this faith. Each of us have been filled with his Spirit. Each of us have our eyes open to see him for who he is. Each of us have had our hearts changed by his working. Each of us have understanding given by his word. At least that's my prayer for each of you this morning. There might be some of you, one of your two of you here this morning, maybe more, that don't know what I'm talking about, who aren't witnesses, who haven't come to believe, that this hasn't happened in your heart. And so I'm praying for you. I'm praying that even now the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, poking you and prodding you, gripping hold of you. You're going, what is this in my heart? What is this that I'm feeling? It's him. Respond to him. We are witnesses. All of us are witnesses. Question is, are we good witnesses? Are we effective witnesses? Are we credible witnesses? Yeeks, credible. That was one I was reading. That was one that MacArthur threw in there. I like that one though. Are we credible witnesses? Can our testimony be trusted? What does that mean? When they look at your life, does it look like God has been at work there? Does it look like your eyes have been awakened to the truth? Does it look like you believe in God? Does it look like this word has impact? Are you a credible witness? Not a bad question. Peter writes, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. I'll tell you, beloved, in the coming weeks and months, maybe years, we're going to see these 11, soon to be 12 young men grow in their witness. And by the Spirit's empowering, turn the world upside down for the gospel of Christ. My prayer as we go through this study is that we might be encouraged and challenged in our own witness, that we might be used here and now in this place to turn the South Bay upside down for Christ as well. Verses 9 to 11 we looked at before as we were going through the end of Luke, and so I'll just read it in closing. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Beloved, he's coming again. Maybe very soon. I will tell you, it's looking more likely every day. I know one thing for certain. I know today his coming is closer than it was last Sunday when we met last. So as we prepare to come to the table this morning, I want to close by looking at Revelation 22. Turn with me, and this is the end, Revelation 22. It really is the end. It's the end of the book. Revelation 22, beginning with the first six. John is writing here. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things." You see the witness there? "When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen."